بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الحكيم. ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. A beautiful word like a beautiful tree that is deeply rooted in the earth, but the branches, they go up, they reach the heaven. أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. Its own fruits are produced every minute, and these fruits are the fruits of knowledge and wisdom and enlightenment. And this tree is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. And the Lord provides these parables for mankind, so they may reflect on these parables. The eighth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, he lived only for 55 years. And his imama lasted for 33 years. And he was born in the same year that his grandfather, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, died. And when he was born in Medina, our Imam, Al-Imam al-Ridha, alayhi salam, at that time, Islam and the Muslim community was ruled by a dynasty, the dynasty of Al-Abbasiyun, who succeeded Bani Umayyah. And they ruled with iron fists. Their caliphs, they ruled the subjects, the ummah, the people, with dictatorship, although they claim that they are caliphs and they represent the messenger of Islam. But Islam was missing. The spirit of Islam that is based on the egalitarian spirit, the spirit of equality, the spirit of justice, justice for all, was missing. Islam was only a name, but not a substance. Not a substance. Their reign started with Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah, the first caliph, followed by al-Mansur al-Abbasi, his brother. He came to power, and he had so much hate for Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He could not tolerate their name, let alone their presence in public. And he led a campaign, very vicious campaign, to eliminate the school of Ahlul Bayt. And unfortunately, he ended up, Al-Mansur, murdering the sixth Imam, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, by poison. And he tried to promote other scholars. He didn't want the Muslims to learn or get inspired or attracted to the family of the Prophet. Why? What's wrong with the family of the Prophet? Because if people see the truth, if people see Imam al-Sadiq, al-Imam al-Kadhim, al-Imam al-Ridha, and other imams, if they see that they are men of piety, men of righteousness, men of good manners and knowledge, then definitely people would reject others. They would reject tyrants and dictators. Always remember, always the tyrants, they cannot tolerate the good people, good leaders, because they see in them a threat to their regime, to their political system. So either they keep them under house arrest, as the case with Imam al-Sadiq, or in the prison, as the case with his son, Imam al-Kadhim, who was imprisoned for 13 years. The father of Imam al-Ridha was imprisoned for 13 full years between Medina, Basra, and ultimately he died in Baghdad. He died in the prison. So after Mansur came Harun al-Abbasi, and he led the same campaign, and he was even worse to Ahlul Bayt. You know what Harun did? Harun demolished the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He destroyed the grave because he could not stop the waves of the pilgrims, the Zuwar, who used to travel long distances to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein in Karbala. Harun could not tolerate that. So he decided that the best thing is to completely destroy the grave, so people go to nowhere, they don't find it. And he thought that that's the way to make people forget about something called Ahlul Bayt. That he was wrong. He was wrong because this book says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِ. Some people think that they can extinguish the light of the Lord with their mouth. وَيَأْبَى اللَّهِ. But God refuses but to spread His light further and further. وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. That was the case with Harun. And after Harun had three children. I mentioned their story maybe 2-3 years ago here at this podium. Each son was from one wife. One of his wives was Arab. One of his wives was Turk. And the third was Persian. The one that was Arab from Al-Amin, from his wife Zubaydah. The one that was Persian was Al-Ma'mun. His mother was from Khurasan. And the one that his mother was Turk was Al-Mu'tasim. And those sons were rivals among themselves. And they started after the death of their father, when Harun died, those three brothers, they started a fight among themselves as who to lead the nation after the father, which led into a very violent consequences. As a result of their fightings, Al-Amin was killed, murdered, and imagine they put his head in a dish and they presented the dish to his brother Al-Ma'mun as a gift. He said, this is a gift to you. We murdered your brother. Subhanallah. When the intention are evil, not good, when people hijack power and their intention is evil, they are ready to kill their own brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. And this is what happened during Bani Abbas. Al-Ma'mun came to power. Al-Ma'mun had more intelligence than his brothers. And then he realized that the best way to bring stability to the Islamic Ummah, Islamic nation, is to advocate the cause Of whom? Huh? The cause of Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam at that time and his father, they were very popular. People realized that those, the family of the Prophet, those are the ones that God says about them, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. And those people are not about power or authority or dominance. The Prophet says something very good about his family. Very good sentence. He says, Ahlul Bayt have nothing with this dunya. Ahlul Bayt have been designed for the akhir. فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ خُلِقُوا لِلْآخِرِ. Their intention and their attraction is not this life. They are not enchanted with this life. Some people, they come into this life and they see nothing beyond this life. Allah says about them, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ. Those who do not see anything beyond this life, those who do not see are blind about the Akhirah. They live a life of animals, the life of cattle and an'am. Bukhur bukhar. This is bukhur bukhar, is in the Quran. Ya'kulun wa yatamattu'un. It's mentioned in the Quran. The same term, the translation of bukhur and bukhar, it's in the Quran. They live a life of irresponsibility, life of no virtue, no substance, empty. Nothing to produce. No help, no contribution, no saving others, no respecting others. All what they care about, their material life. This is the life of animals. Ahlul Bayt were exactly opposite to this. Ahlul Bayt came to dedicate every day, every hour of their life to serving others. To serving others. And this is a lesson that we the Shias, we the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we who claim every day that we are Shias, we love Imam al-Ridha, we love his father, we love his grandfather, we love their great grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is what we should learn. I always say to my own self, I have to ask myself this question every morning when I wake up. I should ask myself, Mustafa, what is your contribution to your community? What is your contribution? If you die today and you go back to your Lord and you stand before him and he asks you, tell me, what did you do? What did you do in your community? What is the answer? We have to provide an answer. I can't just tell him I prayed 5 times a day. He says the prayers was for you. I can't tell him I was fasting every Ramadan. He says the fasting was for you. I can't tell him I went to Hajj and I went to this. And he says these were for you. Tell me, what did you do for your community? We have to have an answer. Did you save someone? Did you guide someone? Did you bring happiness to the heart of someone who is distraught and confused? Did you bring a smile to some orphans, to some families who have no relief? Did you bring medicine to someone who is sick? Did you bring a meal to someone who is hungry? What is your contribution? We have to learn this from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Ahlul Bayt who gave everything, their money, their wealth, their homes, their knowledge, and their blood to save others. That is their contribution. And therefore, people were attracted to them. Definitely when you do good for the sake of God, people are going, the good people are going to be attracted to you. They're going to value this. They're going to see the difference between someone who comes to serve and someone who comes to exploit. There is a difference. A good ruler, a good hakim, a good president is the one who comes to serve. The bad one, he comes to exploit, to dominate, not to serve. That's the difference. So, Harun was very smart. He said, for me to bring stability to my country, and at that time, at the time of Ma'mun was very smart. Ma'mun realized that we have many revolts, thawra, inqilab, in Yemen, in Basra, in Medina, in Egypt, in other places, against the regime. So the best thing to crush and mitigate these revolutions is to say, listen, we advocate Ahlul Bayt and their rights. So what did he do? He said, let me bring Imam al-Ridha all the way from Medina, bring him to Khorasan, to Maru. Maru is the ancient name of today, Mashhad. Mashhad is a new name. This is not an ancient name. Mashhad, the full name of Mashhad is Mashhadul Imam al-Ridha. Mashhadul Imam, but the original name, ancient name is Maru. Maru. And the exact area where Imam is buried is Tus. Tus is the name of the neighborhood. Maru is the city. Khorasan is the province. So he said, let me bring him and appoint him as a crown prince, Waliyul Ahd, to tell the Muslims that I love Ahlul Bayt. And what do you want stronger than this? To have Imam al-Ridha, the leader of Ahlul Bayt, as my crown prince. But his intentions were evil. He didn't love the Imam. But he had no choice. He wanted the Imam to support his regime. He was very intelligent. But the Imam refused. Ahlul Bayt are not enchanted by the seat, by the government. They don't want to be caliphs or a crown prince or wazir or this or that. Ahlul Bayt, God has given them the highest position, the highest title. So the Imam refused. Ma'mun said, listen, when he was negotiating with this issue with the Imam and trying to convince him, and the Imam kept refusing, he said, listen, if you don't accept, then the other choice is death. He threatened him with death. And ultimately he killed the Imam. He summoned him from Medina to Khorasan, and the Imam lived the last 3 years of his life. He was 52 when he left Medina to Khorasan, and the day he died, he was 55. So he lived the last 3 years of his life in Khorasan, who received the Imam. Many of those Khorasanis were the Shias and the followers of Ahlul Bayt. When he arrived into that province, men, women, children, rich, poor, they poured into the streets to welcome the Imam, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is traveling the farthest point from Medina. Mashhad is the farthest point, you know, at that time was the farthest point. No other Imam of Ahlul Bayt had traveled that distance until that day. Imam Ali traveled to Kufa, but Kufa is halfway through. Khorasan is much further to the east. And in each city, look at the contribution of the Imam. In each village, in each city that the Imam passes by or stop to rest between Medina and Khorasan, people would gather to welcome him and to listen to his wisdom and his knowledge. People come with the questions, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, or the son of the Prophet, we want you to stay here. We have questions we want to answer. Al-Ma'mun, he wanted to keep the Imam there under house arrest, but then he realized he did something wrong. He should have kept him in Medina, because people outside Medina, now they started realizing that Ahlul Bayt are the household of ilm and knowledge. Ahlul Bayt, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt are the inheritors of the ilm and the knowledge and the wisdom and the fiqh of their grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every village where the Imam stops and his caravan stops, people gather around him and they discover, Allahu Akbar, look at the source of knowledge. This man should be the leader, the caliph, not Ma'mun. Until he arrived in Khorasan and he was put under house arrest, and the caliph forced him to marry his daughter. Al-Ma'mun al-Abbasi, he forced the Imam to marry his daughter. Why? Because at that time, they did not have devices, spying devices to install, you know, wiretapping. So he had to marry him with one of his daughters, so she would bring the news regularly to her father, to the palace. And she was the source, unfortunately, she was the agent who ultimately put the poison in the food, and she presented to her husband, and she kills the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Imam has many beautiful hadiths. One of the best ahadith narrations of the Imam is the following one that I will conclude, inshallah. Spend a few minutes on this, because I found this hadith in particular is one of the most powerful and one of the most needed guidance that we the Muslims and the followers of Ahlul Bayt need at this time. He was asked, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what is Iman? Now we know Islam is simple. Islam, the literal meaning of Islam is submission. Submission to the will of God. How do you become a Muslim? It's very easy. Any person genuinely testify and witness that there is no God but God and the Prophet is the messenger of God, he becomes automatically, he or she would become a Muslim. But the Quran says there is a big difference between being a Muslim and being what? A mu'min. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Allah says some of those Bedouins in the desert, they come to the Prophet, they say, we are mu'mins. No, tell them you are not mu'mins, you are just Muslim. In order for you to be a mu'min, you have to do much more than that. Much more. Not just two testimonies with your tongue. You have to practice. You have to practice and then you become mu'min. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Say, I am a Muslim. Don't say, I'm a mu'min. There is a big difference. So the Imam was asked, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, what is your definition of Iman? Listen to what he says, how he defines Iman. And then I have to think about this day and night. Am I one of them? Do I have these four? Or I don't? This is self-examination. Let's examine what he says about Iman. He says, Al-Imanu ala arba'ati arkan. Iman has four foundations. The first foundation, At-tawakkulu ala Allah. Let me look at myself. Do I have tawakkul? What does tawakkul mean? Tawakkul means I put my trust in God. Whenever I have a need, whenever I have a problem in my life, whenever I face a challenge in my life, or my life is very easy, comfortable, I have everything, I have to put my trust in God. At-tawakkulu ala Allah. Many of us, we have friends. Some of those friends are influential. Some of you know mayors, governors, sometimes prime ministers, sometimes presidents. And you can pick up the line and call the prime minister and tell him, listen, I have this problem. So you feel inside you, even if you don't call him, you feel that you have someone that you can go to. Whenever you are in a problem, whenever your son, your daughter are in a trouble, you can call the mayor and the mayor can rush to your aid. So we can have peace of mind. Yes? You can have peace of mind. Even if you don't call him, even if you don't need him. By knowing that you have his number, his cell phone number in your pocket, and you can call him any minute, you can have peace of mind. He's a mayor. He's a governor. Now, take this example to the mayor of all mayors, to the governor of all governors, to the president of all presidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the mayor cannot help himself. 3 days ago, I was watching the news. We had a friend here in LA, was the sheriff of Los Angeles, Lee Baca. Good man, I met him many times. He helped the Muslims too. Now he's in court. They might sentence him to 20 years behind bar. 20 years. Not 1 or 2 years, 20 years. If you follow his case, because they said he lied under oath. Because he lied under oath, he lied to the FBI. So now they are taking him to court, and he might end up 20 years behind. And he's 76 years old now. Okay? So sometimes they take the president, the mayor, the governor, they take them to court. They are in a problem. They need someone to help them. But Allah does not need anyone to help him. Ya ayyuha nas, O mankind, listen. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. You are the one who needs God. God does not need you. So when you have tawakkul, true trust in God, the true trust means that I do my part and I leave God's part for Him to do. This is tawakkul. Some people, they don't do anything and they put their trust in God. God says, no, 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 hold on. You have something, you have a share to do. Do your share. And leave me my share. I'll take care of my share. This is Iman. This is the first foundation. The second foundation. Al-Ridha biqada'illah. Al-Ridha biqada'illah. To have acceptance of God's decree. God tests us every day. Every day it's a day of test for us. One day God gives us health. Another day he decides to take some of this health away from us. One day he gives us food. Another day he decides to take some of this food away from us. One day he gives us children. Another day he decides to take one of them away from us. I had a friend who called me yesterday. His wife was pregnant. They were expecting a baby boy. And she gave miscarriage. He was sad. And I was sad with him. But I said to him, listen, this is a gift from God. God knows whether he should continue this gift or withdraw it. He knows. He's testing you. And sometimes God says, we take one gift from you, we give you two more gifts, three more gifts. ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. So we have to accept. We should not complain. A mu'min, a true mu'min, who says Alhamdulillah, God knows the best. He gave me this for a while. Now he wants to take this away from me. He knows the best. God is merciful. This is the second. The third, التسليم لأمر الله. تسليم is to surrender. تسليم is not to argue with God. تسليم is not to fight with God. تسليم is to submit to God. This is تسليم. We have to accept what God commanded us to do. Some of these things are easy, some of them are difficult. But we have to accept. We should not argue with God. If I am supposed to argue with Him every single day on every issue, then this is not surrenderance. This is not tasleem. I'm trying to tell Him, listen, sometimes I have more wisdom than you, astaghfirullah. At-tasleem li-amrillah. Surrender. Surrender. One of the examples of tasleem, where is it? Can you tell me? Very powerful example. Very, very, very powerful in this book. Very powerful. And we remember it every year. All the Hujjaj, they remember this. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. 86 years, this man is waiting for a son. 86 years. Can you imagine? He reached the age of 86. God gave him Ismail. Ismail now becomes 11 years old. The father has just started enjoying his time with his son, Ismail, taking him with him out, you know. All of a sudden, he sees in the dream, God says to him, I want you to murder your son. And immediately the father wakes up in the morning and he doesn't tell his wife, Hajar. He goes right away to the son. He takes him with him outside the house. They walk outside. While they were outside, he says to him, God asked me to murder you. What do you think? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيِ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think? He didn't say him, I must. He was asking his son, who's 11 or 12. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. See what you see. Tell me what you think. The son, who's only 11, he said, Daddy, don't do these crazy things. Please, I'm your son. Don't murder me. This is wrong. The son immediately said, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. If this is the commands of God, why do you ask me? Why do you ask? You have to do that. Of course you have to do that. This is tasleem. This is tasleem. He said to his father, don't ask me. Since God commanded you to murder me, you have to do that. Why? What are you waiting for? This is tasleem. Now, God does not want us to murder our kids, definitely. This was imtihan, a test for Ibrahim. Ibrahim was something else. Ibrahim is the patriarch, the leader of all the anbiya. All those anbiya now are his children, offspring. But God says, sometimes I ask you to do small things for your own self, for your own family. As an example, I want you to have sabr, patience sometimes. Have patience. Don't lose your patience. We have to surrender. That is the third. And the fourth, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam says, At-tafweedu ila Allah. What does tafweed mean? Tafweed means turning away our affairs to God. When you have a problem in your life, when you have a case that is unsolvable, Allah says, do your best. Do your best to solve it. If you could not, then turn the case to me. And this is what the Quran says, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. أُفَوِّض. I do my best to solve it. Okay? When I can't, I reach a point, it's beyond my ability. I say, then this case goes to my Lord. He will take care of it. Turn it to Allah. Sometimes you have a problem with someone. He could be your neighbor. He could be your partner in business. He could be your brother. And they are abusing you. They are usurping your rights. Taking your house away from you. Taking your haq, your right away from you. And you are struggling. And you can't take it back. In that case, say, I delegate this affair to God. وَأُفَوَّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah will defend me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. The answer is, listen to the answer in the Quran. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتْ مَا مَكَرُوا. Allah says, when you delegate your affairs to me, you say, Allah is my attorney, I turn my case to him, Allah is going to protect you. وَقَاهُ وَمُقَايَةً. Protect you against their guiles. Makr. Against their guiles. Against their plots. God is going to stand with you. God is going to stand with you. God is going to defend your rights. These are the four pillars of faith. Number one, al-tawakkul ala Allah. Number two, al-ridha biqada'i Allah. Number three, al-taslimu لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And number four, تَفْوِيضُ الْأَمْرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. أو مشتبه تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. Tomorrow إن شاء الله صلاة الجمعة at one إن شاء الله the khutbah. And we listen to some shi'r and poetry with Brother Hajj Mushtaba, inshallah, to celebrate the milad of our eighth Imam, Al-Imam Al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.